Well, first of all, thank you all for coming. Let's begin by laying a foundation, and let's turn over to Leviticus 23, 1 and 2 to do so. So Leviticus 23, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts." So obviously these are God's feasts. He says so. They're not the Jews' feasts. So these are the feasts of the Lord. And the word feast here is a Hebrew word moed, and it means a set time or an appointment. The word convocation in Hebrew is mikra, and it means a rehearsal. So when you put these two words together, we see that God is revealing in the seven annual festivals an elaborate rehearsal of things that are going to happen in a future set time. So, you know, certain things that happened in the past, and we had three holy days happen in the past, and now we got four coming up here in the future, here in the fall here. So anyway, God he has appointed times for these things, and you know it's on His time schedule, and whatever that might be. All right, let's drop down now to Leviticus 23, verses 26 to 32, pertaining to the Day of Atonement. So, verses 26 to 32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also, the tenth day of the seventh month shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted of soul," and obviously afflicted means to fast, "on that same day he shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on the same day, that person I will destroy." So it sounds pretty strong, doesn't it, come from God? He would destroy someone from among his people who didn't do this. "You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever." Notice that, a statute forever. "Throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath, a solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath." So God's being pretty explicit here. On the ninth day at evening. So he's saying this from evening to evening. And obviously all of our Sabbaths are from evening to evening or from sunset to sunset. So a couple of things to notice there in verse 27. The word atonement there means reconciliation, meaning we are to become at one with God. God wants to reconcile with us. And this is a holy convocation, obviously. And we are to afflict our souls by fasting. And verse 31, notice it's a statute forever. So it's pretty important here. A statute forever. So I have a question here now. Why should a New Testament Christian keep the Day of Atonement? Why? Well, we just got through reading the scripture here that commands us to keep the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 23, 27, 32. So these passages say that it's a statute forever. So that's one reason. God commands us, and then it is a statute forever. Now in the New Testament, let's notice Acts 27, 9, just one verse here, I'll read it to you. "Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them." So here's this word fast here in Acts 27, verse 9. And Paul, Luke wrote the book of Acts, so he recorded here that Paul was, about this thing, about the fast. So this fast here, if you look in your center index of your Bible, I know mine has it here, and it says that, he calls the fast here, it says, because this is a day of fasting, going without food and water here. And my center margin says the word fast in this verse refers to the Day of Atonement first. And then by being a fast, it is referring to the day of a fasting, going without food and water. And again, the Apostle Luke wrote this book of Acts around 61 A.D., almost 30 years after Jesus' crucifixion, and refers to the Day of Atonement, calling it the fast. So very important. You know, it is, you know, the holy days are mentioned. Maybe not all of them are in the New Testament, but you know, specific ones are. In this one, the Day of Atonement was mentioned there. Now also the book of Hebrews is a commentary on the Day of Atonement, which we might also think about. We're not going in that direction today. It's obvious by this verse that the Apostle Paul kept the Day of Atonement. There are other scriptures in the New Testament that indicate that the apostles in the early New Testament kept the Sabbath and God's seven annual Sabbath festivals. So what should a New Testament Christian do on the Day of Atonement? Well, nothing. Right? Jesus Christ did it all for us, didn't he? Now, we are to fast, we know that, but yet, you know, someone said, well, you fast on the Day of Atonement, but what is fasting? It's nothing, right? You don't eat. You know, we're all listening to each other's stomachs growl here, see? So we're not doing anything, are we? So we are to afflict our souls, as it says there in Leviticus 23, verse 27. And again, the word afflict here means to abase, humble, and weaken. So when we fast physically, we're weakened, aren't we? You know, we get tired easy. We're hungry. And spiritually, though, it's humbling. Okay? So there's a spiritual effect here also with us here. So physically, we don't eat. And what happens if we didn't eat? We'd die, wouldn't we? So again, it's a humbling experience for us. And then spiritually, the one big reason we fast is to draw closer to God. Now, you know, you might fast at other times in the year. And, you know, and we'll read a couple examples here of different people who did. In just a minute. Well, I'll touch on it real quick since I'm right there. For instance, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Why? Well, there's a reason, wasn't it? It was so that he could combat the temptations of Satan the devil. Moses, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights there in Exodus 34 there when he's up on the mountain with God. You know, if we fasted for 40 days, we'd probably die. You know, can you imagine? I mean, I remember one time I fasted for 2 days and I was the most grouchy thing in the world, so I learned a big lesson. Don't do it unless you're prepared to do it, you know. I mean, if you want to go 2 or 3 days, you know, that's up to you, but you might want to seclude yourself somewhere where you're not going to be arguing and fighting with your wife and all that kind of stuff, you know. Not that I did that, you know. But I did get a little bit grouchy. I will say that. So there's also the story about Daniel, who fasted for 21 days. That's 3 weeks in Daniel 10. And then Esther. Think about Esther for a minute. She fasted for 3 days and three nights. But if you remember the story here, the entire Jewish nation fasted for 3 days. And why? Well, this bad guy, whose name was Haman in this story, he wanted to destroy all the Jews in the Medo-Persian Empire. So the whole bottom of the story here, when you get down to the bottom line, was the Jews were saved by prayer, fasting, and a beautiful woman. Now, you can't beat that, can you, right? And again, Esther was a beautiful woman. You know, they picked out the most beautiful women in the kingdom there to become the king's wife and so on. Now, I want to backtrack here to where I was before here. At other times, you know, in a year, we might want to fast, and you might have specific reasons, just like Esther did, you know, or whoever. So, you know, you might want to pick 3 things to fast for. You know, maybe you got a problem on your job, maybe you want to, maybe you got a marital problem, whatever, something like that. But the third reason should always be drawing closer to God. But anyway, I'd recommend not going more than 3. And 3, you know, if you want to just hold it to 2, it's totally up to you, you know, however you might want to do it. But again, you know, we do fast for reasons, certain reasons. And so whatever that reason is, just make sure that one of those reasons is to draw closer to God. Okay, let's turn over to Isaiah 58, 1 to 14 now. And we'll read something about fasting and so on here. So Isaiah 58. And 1 to 14. That's the whole chapter. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a shofar. Tell my people their transgressions, their rebellion and so on, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? So they're not in the right attitude here in their fasting. Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? They're sort of talking to God about this. See, they're asking. In fact, in the day of your fast, God is saying here, you find pleasure. You exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Again, afflict, fasting. It is to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? Now here's some things that we should be doing, see, and they should have been at that time. To undo the heavy burdens, to lest the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, you know, your own family? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. In other words, looking behind you, you know, making sure you're protected on all sides here. Verse 9. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water do not fail. Those from among you shall build up the old waste places. You shall raise up the fountains of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So obviously when we fast, we need to be in the right attitude, don't we? Okay, in the Sermon on the Mount, this is over in Matthew 6, so we can turn there now. Let's notice what Jesus' instructions here are on fasting here. So Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 16, verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not eat like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So, you know, if you go around all day saying, oh, it's me, and someone says, well, what's wrong, Bill? Well, I've been fasting. Oh, dear, Bill, you must be hungry, you know. Well, you get your reward, don't you? You know, you already have it there. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So, again, you know, we don't want to receive our reward now. You know, we need to do it secretly so God will reward us here. And also notice that Jesus said, when you fast and not if you fast. So, you know, his disciples are to fast. And, you know, we are too. So, I know when I first came into the church, I was pretty zealous. So, you know, I was doing it every once a month, maybe something like that, pretty steady. And then the older I get, guess what? I don't do it too often. And I need to get back in the groove maybe, doing it more than just once a year on the Day of Atonement. But obviously we are commanded on the Day of Atonement too. I mean, that's the one day in the year that we are commanded to do it. Also notice at the bottom there, the verse 18 there, it does say there is a reward for fasting and so on. So. Now in the Lord's Prayer, if we jump up to verse 5 in this particular chapter here, let's read a little bit more here, and we'll sort of be paying attention about a reward here. Verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into a room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore he said to them, For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer here, as it's called. So, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us of our debts, and forgive us our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, and then, Lord, amen. This is a model prayer. So it's something that, you know, we need to take each phrase and just not read it. If that's all we did was just read it maybe every day, it'd become vain, wouldn't it? But, you know, we need to take each little phrase, Our Father in heaven, and then amplify, you know, our great and awesome God, you know, I love you, I honor you, I glorify you, you know, sort of amplifies each phrase there. And it's like a reminder to be like a, maybe like in Spokesman's Club, you know, when we were in Spokesman years ago, you know, try to make a little 3x5 card and just have some notes on it and try to speak extemporaneous. Now, not all of us can do that, but maybe a few might be able to, but anyway, amplify your thoughts here when you're going through the Lord's Prayer. And then also notice here the last couple of verses there, 14 and 15 there. For if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. So it's like that was sort of tacked on the end there. That's a very important thing there. We need to forgive so we can be forgiven. So very, very, very important here. Anyway, I was mentioning reward. Now let's think about a reward for a minute. Is there a reward for prayer and fasting? Well, John 3:16 says, the memory scripture for all of us, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So our reward is everlasting life, isn't it? Romans 6:23, another memory scripture. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So again, eternal life is our reward. Now, over in Luke, I just want to read a scripture here. Luke 6:27, actually it's verse 35 is where I want to focus in on here. This is Luke 6:35. It says, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing. And then it says, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Again, our reward is to become the sons of the Most High. Well, that's more or less talking about eternal life, isn't it? You know, we're going to be sons and daughters of the Most High, which is God the Father. And we're going to be ruling with Jesus Christ in the kingdom here. So as we've already seen in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you fast, not if. So Jesus expects his disciples to fast from time to time. God has commanded his people to fast at least once a year on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is a day of fasting, and it is a test. Now, we're all familiar with the Sabbath being a test. You know, God gave us 10 commandments, didn't he? But on that fourth one, he said, which law is it that most people want to forget? You know, which one is it the churches say, well, you don't do the fourth one, you know. A lot of churches will say, well, the 10 commandments have been done away with. No, there's that fourth one stuck in there. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But God wants to know if we're going to keep it or not. So it's a test commandment. Well, guess what? The Day of Atonement is also a test commandment, isn't it? You know, it is a day that we're going to set aside. We're going to go to church, holy convocation, and so on. We are not going to eat on that day. Now, it's interesting, and I'm joking here in a sense. The Jews kept the Feast of Trumpets for 2 days, but the one day they would not want to keep for 2 days is the Day of Atonement because they have to fast, right? So, but anyways, for some reason or other, they do keep I guess the Feast of Trumpets is so important to them that, you know, they do want to keep it for 2 days. So obviously the question is, will we obey God or not? And obviously we are. We're all hungry. We're all fasting. We're all trying to obey God and doing what God commands. So what else do you think of when you think of prayer and fasting? Well, you think of repentance, don't you? Galatians 59 verses 1 and 2. You can just jot this down. It says, "Behold," Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So sin separates us from God. Now, what did Jesus tell us to do? One verse, Luke 13, verse 5, it says, Jesus said, "I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And then over in Acts, Peter said, "Repent, therefore." This is Acts 3:19. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So again, repentance. Repentance is important. It comes along with the Day of Atonement. You know, we are to become with one with God. Well, how do we do that? We got to say, "Father, I'm sorry. I've sinned. You know, I've fallen short of the glory of God. Forgive me. Have mercy on me." And that's another thing that the Day of Atonement is about. It's about mercy. You know, God has mercy on us. He wants to be at one with us. In conclusion, in observing the Day of Atonement, we are showing God the following. We are willing to fast, to be humble and obedient to Him. We are willing to pray and repent, to be close to Him. We look to Jesus, who is our High Priest, who gave up His life for us and shed His blood to cover our sins. It is only through Jesus Christ that we have atonement and reconciliation with God. It is through the Day of Atonement that we can say that we are at one with God.